Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As Pastor Amy reminded you, today is Pentecost. Often we say Pentecost is the birthday of the Christian church. 2,000 years ago or so, the first followers of Jesus received a gift that Jesus had promised them. In our gospel lesson, it was described with various words, the advocate, the comforter, sometimes called the paraclete. Jesus promised them the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would come and guide them into all truth. And wow, did it come. In our Acts 2 account, we see a rush, or we hear a rushing wind. We see some of the best pyrotechnics possible from Hollywood. We see, you know, fire dancing around on the disciples' heads, and we hear languages being spoken where people hear the gospel in their home language. They are transformed. Many, many people hear that message of Jesus Christ, and they begin to believe and follow and proclaim that good news themselves. You know the rest of the story. There was such a commotion that the people started to think that they were all drunk, but they weren't. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and told the story of Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, the good news of God's grace and love and forgiveness. They shared it until this very day. And so we do think of this as the beginning of the church. So it's the birthday of the Christian church. Happy birthday, guys. It's your birthday. We celebrate, in addition to that birthday, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. We sing and we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit, come." I wonder if we really know what we're asking for. Some might say we are playing with fire when we ask for the Holy Spirit to come. Some might say that we're messing with a wind that very well might huff and puff and blow the walls down. Because you see, the Holy Spirit refuses to be confined in the four walls of a box or of a building or of a way of thinking. The Holy Spirit refuses to be restrained, but has to go out and do its work. So what does Pentecost mean to us? We make a big deal about it. We dress up in red and we have special music and so forth. But what does it mean for us? What does this birthday of the Christian church mean to us? Is it just a nostalgic look back to events of the past? Or is it an opportunity to look forward? Certainly, we need to do both. But I think we tend to look back a whole lot more, don't we? You know, back to the good old days when the pews were full and when kids came to church and we didn't have to worry about deficit budgets and attendance. You know, the good old days. We like to look back, but maybe at the expense of looking forward. Because you see, that's where the Holy Spirit is leading us, not back, but forward. The Holy Spirit is leading us to new opportunities and new challenges going forward. It might not be comfortable. Might not be. The Holy Spirit isn't tame, nor domesticated. I think the Celts in Scotland and Ireland probably got it, the metaphor right. Their image for the Holy Spirit isn't the dove, you know, calm and cool, but the wild goose who's honking and chasing you and driving you crazy. You know, we have wild geese around here, and you ever try to pull into their parking spot? They won't let you. Because it's theirs, thank you very much. You go somewhere else. And they honk, and they will chase you if you get too close to their nest. They're a nuisance. And the Holy Spirit is sometimes like that, upsetting things, shaking things up, tearing down old ideas, and building up new ones, new initiatives, causing old things to die and new things to come to life. And that's not surprising because we are a dying and rising church, are we not? If Lent and Easter teach us anything, that we have a dying and rising Savior, and we too are a dying and rising people. The old things go, and the new things on the horizon, the Holy Spirit leads us to them. Paul even goes so far in Romans 8 to tell us, you know, that this Holy Spirit means that we're pregnant with possibility, that this whole creation is groaning for the new thing that God puts out before us in His kingdom. And even when we can't put that into words, the Holy Spirit prays for us into things, words that we cannot yet even imagine or express. I believe that we're on the brink of something new, something powerful. Phyllis Tickle, a church historian, describes this as the Great Emergence. You see, every 500 years or so, she claims that the church holds a rummage sale where it gets rid of all the old stuff it doesn't need and then concentrates on the new and brings in the new. That's how it worked out historically, if you think about it. You know, the first 500 years, Christianity grew and scattered throughout the entire world. It became the religion of the Roman Empire. 1000, the church had its first great schism. In 1500 or so, Martin Luther shook things up with this whole Protestant Reformation. And now we're in the 2000s, and we see that the sea is changing. Things are changing in our culture and in religion. And we start to wonder, is the church dying? Or is it just the throes of new life? I suspect the latter, that the Holy Spirit is holding out new things before us. I know it's uncomfortable, and we may feel ill-prepared. But those first disciples, were they prepared? Were they prepared for that wind and that fire and that power of the Holy Spirit getting into them and leading them to risk and to change things? Certainly they weren't prepared either. Case in point, poor Peter. You know, Peter, you know, who was, you know, suffering from foot and mouth disease constantly, one who couldn't put two good thoughts together in the right order to save his life. You know, but yet, here we hear of Peter stepping up with such boldness. He preaches this sermon where thousands are converted and decide to follow Jesus. Even he is changed by the Holy Spirit. That's how it works. We may feel ill-prepared, but the Holy Spirit is the one who does the work in us and through us. I know some are writing already the obituary of the church. They're saying that the church is dying. You know, churches are closing. Membership is down. Giving is down in many places. Young people are not coming to church like they used to, maybe because they can smell BS a mile away. And they recognize that we don't always follow through with our words by our actions. Others suggest that the church just needs to tweak a few things. You know, maybe some new growth strategies, maybe some crowd-pleasing efforts. You know, maybe an exciting and photogenic pastor up front, you know, one who's really good on iTunes and YouTube. Maybe that'll fix it. Or maybe not. Maybe what both sides fail to realize is that this quirky, oddball, mixed-up collection of sinners and saints, that's you and I, guys, we've been called into existence, we have been empowered and gifted by the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit always calls us to put away some things and to pick up some new, to be a dying and rising church. So the church, going forward, needs to die to some things so that new things can be born. I have an opinion, like everyone. I have an opinion of a few things that the church needs to let die. First of all, this idea that the church is some kind of social club for culturally and theologically like-minded people. Because you see, diversity is the life of the church. It gives us vitality and new ways of thinking and new ways of approaching challenges. Gives us new life. And we do need to kill off this idea that there are some people or some groups of people that God doesn't love, that God doesn't accept. Remember, God so loved the world that He sent His only Son. And we need to set aside this very popular idea among Christians of what are often called the prosperity gospel. You know, this idea that God's presence, God's favor is expressed by your bank book, by how successful you are, by how prosperous you are, how happy you are. Quite to the contrary. Scripture teaches us that God's presence is most clearly expressed by a crucified Savior, by one who wasn't afraid or ashamed to shy away from suffering and pain and death, confident that new hope and new life will come from it. In fact, that's in the places of deepest human need where Jesus shows up, where God meets us most powerfully. And if we're thinking about where the church ought to go in the future, maybe that's where, to go out beyond these four walls, to places of human need. I think we're on the verge of our own Pentecost experience. And here's the deal. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church is incredibly well equipped for this time. The Holy Spirit has given us gifts beyond imagining, and we can go out into that world with the Holy Spirit guiding us. Yes, it might be uncomfortable. Yes, it might be new areas of effort, but it's the Holy Spirit's church. It's God's church, not ours. And so, do we really mean it? I hope we do when we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit, come." Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.